is a special report.
Knowing how to invest your money is harder than ever before. Dealing with stock market volatility, record debt, and terrorist attacks requires new thinking. At U.S. Asset Management, we can help you see the world more clearly so that you can move beyond the chaos and invest with confidence. Call us, visit us online, or drop by our office. U.S. Asset Management, helping you make better decisions with your money.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christine Dolan. This is American Conversations, and we're honored today to have Alfredo Ortez, who is the president and CEO of Jobs Creators Network. And we're going to talk about an issue that in the polling that his organization has done, there are only about 2% of American business owners that know about the Corporate Transparency Act. And so, Alfredo, let's just start off with how many businesses are there in America that are affected by this act?
Well, there are 33 million small businesses overall. About a million of those file as S-corps, C-corps. So 32 million are LLCs. So 32 million small businesses, Christine, are actually going to be affected by this act.
All right. So let's get into some history here. When was this act brought and what was the initial intention of bringing this act?
Well, it was snuck in under the Defense Authorization Act, which was back in 20. And in 21, actually, Trump vetoed the bill. So what we need to make sure is so that this time around, it actually doesn't go through because it takes effect January 1st of 2025, which is the biggest concern of all. And there's been some attempts in the court, for example. And then there was a stay put on it, but it only impacted the business and the group that actually led that lawsuit. All of the other businesses are still on the hook for it. And, you know, the concerning part about that, Christine, is that, you know, you can be fined up to, I think it's like $10,000. That's like $600 per day or something like that. And two years in prison.
So you won't need an accountant. You're going to need a criminal attorney.
Yeah, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And look, and just because you don't know about it, as you know, right, ignorance of the law doesn't mean that, you know, that you're not on the hook for it. So you can still be charged for that. And so imagine, you know, the IRS, you know, coming in and charging you or the FBI coming to arrest you for breaking this Corporate Transparency Act law because you didn't actually know about it. And the intent was to try to prevent money laundering and, you know, different businesses to use these LLCs for money laundering. But to go against, you know, after 32 or to force 32 million small businesses to actually file this thing to try to get, you know, maybe what, 10, 20, 30,000, you know, money laundering businesses. I mean, I think it's just, you know, way too much. It's way overboard in terms of what is actually needed for the actual issue that they were trying to take care of.
So let's back up. The act passed in 2024. And then it was when Biden came in, right? Do I have those dates right?
So it was actually passed a little bit earlier, Trump actually vetoed it, and then it was overridden, and then it went into effect under Biden.
Okay, all right. So what are the requirements for a small business? Because this is pretty frightening. If only 2% of the people that you guys polled even know it's there with this high risk.
Yeah, and that's right. And the requirements seem pretty benign, right? I mean, pretty easy. You just kind of file your name, you certify, you give your social security number, you know, your address and stuff like that. But that's the whole reason why, you know, as a small business, we do create LLCs, right? Because you do want to have some kind of corporate shield, for legal reasons and other practical reasons. That's why LLCs were formed. Some people have been using them, obviously, for criminal activity. But right now, they're assuming that you're guilty until proven innocent. And this is completely unconstitutional. And I believe it's against the Fourth Amendment, you know, our rights of privacy. And so this is from a broader perspective, I think, and I'm not a lawyer, but it is unconstitutional and we got to challenge it on those levels.
So why, when it was challenged in court, why, what didn't it turn into a class action, and why weren't there people that filed an amicus? Did it get up to the Supreme Court?
And no, not yet. And we filed an amicus on the appeal, and it's still sitting in the appeals court, right? But what we need to do, there's a couple bills that are kind of made their way out there, but are not being heard. They're not on the floors of the Senate or the House yet. And that's what we need to do, is we got to elevate it to that point where we do have this pass as a bill this year. And we do need to take it, you know, to Biden's desk. And quite frankly, since it's the Biden-Harris administration, I want to make sure we get on record Kamala Harris saying whether she's for it or against it, because she's out there right now, Christine, as you know, seeing that she's all for small businesses, right? Businesses are the heartbeat of America. And she feels for them. And that's why she's doing this $50,000 deduction. And, you know, she loves her small businesses. I mean, she does not love her small businesses. I know that for a fact, because after years of challenging this administration, they are constantly trying to, put our small businesses down. And quite frankly, from the beginning of the Biden administration, declared war on small businesses.
What is their problem with small businesses? Because Hunter Biden certainly liked LLCs.
Well, so I actually think that one of the biggest reasons why they don't like LLCs, they don't like small businesses in particular, right, is that it represents everything that they hate, that the leftist socialist government hates. They hate the fact that they can't corral them, they can't control them. They are individualistic. They represent freedom, entrepreneurship. Everything that these guys hate, right, is what small businesses, I think, represent.
And ironically, they use the words freedom. Okay, I'm putting joy on the side. I mean, that doesn't even belong in the context of anything going on in reality right now. But I mean, she uses the word freedom very much front and center at the Democratic convention.
Yes.
At the same time, they're pro-regulation. They want more information. Now, I spoke to somebody last night, not on camera, but just a small business owner that said that, you know, she filled out the form and she sent it in. But again, her accountant had told her maybe she needed to do this to prevent any ramifications. And she said it was a simple form, but she didn't know what it was for. So when you fill out this form, you have to, you send it in, where does it go? Because my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong about this, Alfredo, because you're more knowledgeable than I am, it goes into some law enforcement database, or the law enforcement has access to the government database. Is that correct?
Yes. In fact, I had to get my notes on this. It goes into the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network.
So I believe that's under Treasury.
I believe, yes, that is under Treasury. So all of a sudden, they now will have a database of all the private information of 32 million small businesses out there.
And there's a difference, because usually if you're a small business, and let's say you're in St. Louis, you file the paperwork to get the registration for the state of Missouri. But now the difference is that you're putting it into the federal government. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It now goes into a federal database. So all of them fall into one database. And I don't know. I mean, the IRS coming after Republicans or conservative businesses, could that ever happen, Lois Lerner?
Not just that, but we live in a time that's a little bit different now, because we're talking about the weaponization of the judicial system, the weaponization of the federal government. Tom Donilon's home was raided. This is the guy that was being appointed, you know, interim as head of the New York Police Commissioner because of everything that's going on in Manhattan right now. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy was an FBI agent. He worked for Homeland Security. I mean, what is going on in this country?
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right. And that's what's really scary about this. I mean, for this to go into a federal government database, right, of all of our small businesses, I mean, I'm sorry, but I don't really see that that this is all going to lead to all this, you know, money laundering being broken and all this other stuff. And everything that they talked about, why it was created. I mean, I think this is something that feels to me quite nefarious, quite frankly.
And So on the smallest side, it's an overreach, but then it could be used for something nefarious for political reasons.
I mean, why not? I mean, we've seen the weaponization of our federal governments and our agencies against, you know, American citizens. I mean, why not?
All right. So let's go through the machinations of this. So people need to, so that they don't end up in jail or they don't have these huge daily fines, people need to get in touch with their accountants and ask them, do we know if the accountants really know about this in America?
Not many of the accountants know about it either. And so that's the biggest concern. And quite frankly, some accountants don't want to do it because they don't want to actually assume the responsibility from a legal perspective that comes from that.
And why? What is written in the act that would make them liable?
Well, I mean, just because they're accountants, right? So if you have a professional doing anything on your behalf, right, they are, as professionals representing you, they could be on the hook. And so I think because there's such, you know, a lack of clarity on exactly what they're trying to do with this, I think accountants are actually trying to stay away from it. And they're basically saying, you have to do this on your own.
So where do you get the forms?
So my understanding is that you can actually literally Google Corporate Transparency Act, and it will take you to the form. Or you go to the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network website, and it should have that on there as well. I haven't actually honestly checked the SBA, if it's even on the SBA website, to be quite honest. And I will actually have to do that, but I'm just more focused on the outrage of what's been created here, and the fact that we're almost October and we're running out of time to get this, basically at least extend for another year the implementation deadline, so we have a year to challenge this in the courts.
All right. So this is in motion. The deadline is January of 2025 when people are supposed to
be January 1st. Right.
January 1st. So they're supposed to give their information, fill out these forms. We have how many businesses that don't know about this?
Well, I mean, technically, if you think about it, you have 32 million out of the 33 million businesses that file as LLCs. And let's say at best 10% of these businesses know about it. So you have about 28 to 29 million small businesses out there that don't know this is coming and what's going to hit them.
Does it cover family trusts?
Anything that's an LLC is my understanding.
Anything that's an LLC, or what about S-corporations?
No, it excludes C-corps and S-corps.
Okay, so this is LLCs only?
Yes, correct.
And this is just in America?
Correct.
All right, but if somebody from France wants to do business in America and they file something in America, they would still have to do the same thing?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because they'd have to get probably... what do they call it? A TIN, a tax identification mm-hmm. number. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine they'd have to file that. I'm not quite sure of the specifics. Quite frankly, I haven't focused on the French trying to do business in this country.
Well, I'm just thinking if there's a foreign angle to it, or is it just limited to America?
Limited to U.S. businesses.
All right. So that's a big chunk of the economy right there.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
the carrot and stick, it seems to be that Kamala's out there and she's saying, you know, especially after COVID when so many businesses filed for bankruptcy, and then also when they were shut down and when they lost business and they suffered and some of them just had to just close up shop. But she's holding the carrot out there for $50,000 if you create a business, but she's not telling you that the stick is, if you do that, then you're going to have to do it our way.
Yeah, she's just being very disingenuous about the whole thing because, you know, I'm sure you've heard talk about how small businesses under our administration are doing great. They've never been better. In fact, small business applications are up. I'm sure you've heard her say that at some point. Mm-hmm. Well, she's very, very careful. And I have to tell you, they should get Emmys for fiction writing here, because what they've actually done is taken, you got to listen to the words she said. Small business applications are up. Not the small businesses are up in general, right? Because here's the example. So let's say you're a business in California, Christine, and you want to go, hey, I can't stand the state. I'm going to move to Florida and open my business in Florida. You close down your business in California and you move to Florida and you create a small, and you open up, you do a small business application there to create your business in Florida. They are now saying that that is a creation of a small business.
What?
Yes. So notice what they're saying. Small business applications are up. So even though one, that same business is closing in California, let's say, and moving to Florida, they're counting that as one business created. They're actually not netting out that it was actually a business that closed in one area and opened to the other. So think about how many businesses have moved from California and New York and all those to, you know, these great states like Tennessee and Georgia and Florida. Millions right. of businesses have done that, right?
Right.
So that's why applications are up, right? But the net is that small businesses are not being generated and created as a whole. They're being very disingenuous.
All right. So let's talk about the landscape of this, Alfredo. The businesses, can we break it down into industries where the industries, because I think people need to understand, not just, I mean, they understand inflation. I mean, they see it on the kitchen tables sure, every yeah. week, every night. But let's talk about the state of small businesses in America, because I think people need to understand this, that it's not healthy for, you know, but what are the statistics on this?
Well, I mean, overall small businesses aren't doing well. At least from our polling, we're finding that, first of all, inflation is the number one issue for them, and crime is the second, actually, because inflation has not gotten better, and overall, price levels are still high. And even though, yes, the rate of increase has improved, the price levels still keep going up, and that's what people have to understand, and whether it's with small businesses understand all too well, unfortunately, because they're paying those high prices and they can only do this for so long before they have to either raise prices to consumers, which is why the consumers are seeing the higher prices, right? Or they just close up shop,
right?
Right. Or they start hiring less people or paying them, you know, less in work hours because, you know, like in California, they have a $20 minimum wage now, so they can't pay them less. So guess what they're doing? They're giving these people less hours because they can't afford to pay the output of dollars that they're being asked to do right now because business is going down, right?
I mean, so if you buy it, the thing I think is interesting about this is when we talk about small businesses many times in the past would hire immigrants in some of the urban communities or in the rural communities on the farms, all right? How is that impacting the whole structure of small businesses? Because years ago in the 1980s, it was called the Simpson-Mazzoli bill, and it was an immigration bill. And the bill, and I remember when I was at the networks, I did like a 10-part series on it. It was never fully enforced. The bottom line was that if you hired an illegal, that you could be prosecuted, you could be fined, okay? And it was just never enforced. I mean, it's part of the problem of where we are today, but it's a different perspective. I don't want to, you know, lose the fact that we've got to open borders and human trafficking operation in the South. But how does this impact what's going on with the immigration situation here in the country?
Well, it's interesting. I think that E-Verify law, I think that's what came out of that bill, is still a law, right? I mean, that's mm-hmm. you're still required to do that. I think because there's been so much illegal immigration coming through, they are taking some of those jobs that were reserved probably for what I would call lower income, more blue collar type workers. They're absorbing some of that work, which is, I think, what's driving unemployment up as well. And so, you know, when you have millions and millions of illegal immigrants coming through.
Your government doesn't care about you. That's why you need a medical emergency kit. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, Z-Pak, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
If you haven't noticed, gold has reached a new high, all-time highs, actually. and keeps going up every day. Why is that? It's because precious metals are a long-time historical store of value. And if you own a portfolio and you have assets in the fiat currencies, i.e. stocks, bonds, cash, or whatever, you're vulnerable to hyperinflation, which is coming as our debt explodes another trillion every 90 days. It's really scary. So how do you protect yourself? Go to Advisor Metals. If you look on any of our CDM.press sites, about halfway down, there's an ad for Advisor Metals. Click on it, fill out the form for your contact info, and Ira Bashatsky will contact you and talk to you. It's an easy conversation. There's no sales pitch. He's completely verified by us. He has a regulatory background we've checked into. We've checked with his bankers. We've checked with his IRA custodians for metals. And we can highly recommend Advisor Metals and ERA. So go to Advisor Metals. If you call them directly, tell them we sent you at CDM, and he'll definitely take care of you. But protect your portfolio, because you really need to. It's coming. Thank you.
The borders and taking those jobs, right? I mean, the only one thing can happen, right, is we're not creating more jobs. I mean, the reality is we're not creating more jobs. And as much as the White House say they are, I mean, remember, we just had like an 850,000 job revision that was just announced last month from what they had been saying for the whole year, right? And so, you know, we're not in a healthy position in terms of jobs being created. And so when that's going down and you have millions of illegal immigrants flowing through the border, taking, you know, a lot of those jobs that would probably be, like I said, used more for, you know, the kind of a blue collar worker type. It's a bad situation for those on the lower scale of kind of job requirements and income requirements. And so it's just not a good situation when you bring it all together.
We have a problem with statistics in this country, because I noticed that during the presidential debate, when David Muir asked about the crime rates, and Donald Trump referred to the crime was up. And then he was corrected by David Muir based upon FBI numbers. And then 2 days later, DOJ came out and mirrored what Donald Trump had said. And now we have, you know, 10 days later, we have FBI statistics that do not agree with the DOJ crime statistics. So when you talk about what they're saying in the political landscape in DC at the federal level doesn't agree with what you know, and this is your business, somebody's not telling the truth here, and I'm going to rely on the people who are closest to this. What have you guys found in your research?
Yeah, I mean, the reality is that no, the federal government and the White House in particular, they're not being truthful to the American public. I mean, remember, it all started with even Janet Yellen talking about inflation being what was her famous word? Temporary, basically, mm-hmm. And that it was all going to go away, right? None of that was true. We've had record high inflation. You know, it costs the average household right now in America $28,000 more to have the same standard of living today than they did under the Trump administration. That's the impact of the Biden-Harris economy on the average American. Yet they're saying that things are great, right? I mean, they believe... The White House believes that if they say it enough times, people will think it's true. It's kind of like, Christine, if I told you that, you know, I'm 6'5", blonde, blue eyes with a six pack, if I tell you enough times, you're going to believe me.
Well, I think of it sort of, I've never been on a dating site, but people have told me on dating site, it's amazing how people profile themselves and then you meet them in person. And it's, you know, I have a friend who actually did this for 2 years, and she was going to, I told her, I said, you got to write a book, because it's true. If people just, the spin is on steroids right now in America in terms of, and we're dealing with something that I'm old enough to say this, I've never seen so many people believe in something that's not real.
I mean,
Chris, it's extraordinary to me.
It really is. I mean, I have to tell you, I've been doing this, you know, for 12 years now, and every year seems to get worse. I mean, I'm pulling my hairs out with what people are believing. I hear Kamala Harris talk about how she's for fracking in Pennsylvania. Are you kidding me? I mean, how many times did we have to see her on a CNN interview say she's absolutely going to repeal fracking? She's absolutely going to outlaw fracking. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I saw her say that, and now all of a sudden she's for it, and all of a sudden people are believing her.
Well, she's also said that, you know, she's prosecuted people. And I can tell you, as somebody who's covered human trafficking and taken on the Catholic Church for sex scandals for so many years, that when she was the DA in San Francisco area and when she was later the AG in California, there were plenty of cases that I actually worked on, not as a prosecutor, but as an investigative journalist, that she never took on. And there were many Catholic survivors slash victims yeah. who begged her to help them in their civil cases. So there's a lot of myths that are out there in yeah. terms of this. But let's go back to our topic at hand. What can people do? How do people find your group and what you're doing, your campaign to take this on? And how can they help?
Yeah, I appreciate it. So our website is jobcreatorsnetwork.com. We have a lot of great information on this and a whole bunch of other things. If you actually want to know the truth on a lot of these facts that are out there flowing around, we try to get to those truths. We try to be honest with it. And I think we kind of take that spin off and we really tell folks the way it actually is. And so they can go to jobcreatorsnetwork.com. And we're also looking for amazing small business advocates out there that we call our JCN Freedom Fighters. Folks who are small businesses that are willing to speak out on behalf of the 33 million small businesses out there that want to talk about the reality of what's going on with their small businesses, the reality of what's happening in their communities and how they're being torn apart because of the impact, the devastating impact this economy has had on their small businesses. And so we've got you know, dozens of these JCN freedom fighters that are small business advocates that speak on behalf of, like I said, of our small business across the country. We get them in the media, whether it's in print or TV or radio. And they're just fantastic people, but they have to be brave, Christine, I have to tell you, because look, the federal government will come after you. And some of these folks, they're not afraid. They're not afraid what's going to happen to them because they believe that speaking the truth is more important than anything else.
Well, we want to have some of those people on, Alfredo. I'd like to do a whole series with sure. any of these people that come out and have an engagement with it, because quite frankly, I think that we're part of the reason why we're in the mess that we're in America today is because of this crazy cancel trash flash, you know, it's almost like a flash dance. You know, somebody speaks out and then, you know, you've got these Twinkies that go to, you know, a social media page and then they just start trashing people. And it's time for people to get in the fight and to stand up and to basically say, no, we're not going to be afraid of you. And also, I'm the type of journalist that if it does happen to anybody who's a business leader who comes on and does an interview with me, I'll take on the person who does that because I know how they do that on the internet. Okay.
Well, you know,
and we saw this during COVID when it was very controversial that was out there. We saw
it. And you know what? People think that we're kind of the fear mongering and that can't be the case. And it's very much the case. As you remember, Christine, a couple of years ago, we actually challenged the Department of Education on that student loan bailout. Mm-hmm. And thanks to our efforts, we actually stopped the $420 billion outflow the day before they were going to hit the button and make it all happen. But I will tell you that one of those plaintiffs that, you know, that helped us, you know, take that to court, her business was completely decimated by people that were just trashing her on Yelp and, you know, Yahoo and all this stuff with just lies and smears. And I mean, they were camping out in her house. I mean, it was horrible what she had to go through. And we were so thankful that she was willing to do that. But I have to tell you, I mean, this is horrible. This is not making things up. This is the reality of what these people face if they speak up.
It is, you know, it's very interesting to me because I've been covering politics now for 40 years. And I remember the days when Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan, you know, would fight maybe over issues, but at night that they would sip their whiskey and play their, play poker together and they're on two different sides. So this lack of civility, I think also, I think part of the factor of why we have it is because of the internet, because of social media.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We haven't just weaponized, you know, the federal agencies and the law wars that go on. But we also have weaponized social media. And we have, and keep this in mind, this is a very interesting statistic to me. We have about 330 million people in America. Of that, we have about 75 million who were born after 1990. So we have a whole slew of people in America that don't know the world you and I grew up with, Alfredo. They don't know the world before the internet. They don't know that this is not civil. This is not civilized.
All right.
The type of behavior that's going on here. But we need to have more people speak up to push back. Just recently, there was a scandal with Bobby Kennedy. And this is a reporter, okay, who has sent nudes to a politician, you know, and as the former political director of CNN, I couldn't be more outraged.
Yeah.
Outraged. This is something, this is an action whereby New York Magazine should have fired that reporter on the spot when they found out. Okay. Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, this is the type of stuff. And she's a 31-year-old, all right? She thinks she's seasoned because she's been in the business for 10 years. At the same time, you know, there's an unconsciousness with some people that they don't even know that this is bad behavior. I think that in some of these people, it's so we become so normalized to it that we have to have people stand up and say, no, you're not going to get away with that. There are ramifications and repercussions for that kind of behavior.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. You know, I like calling, you know, desk chair advocates, right? I mean, activists, mm-hmm. Because it really is easy, right? You just, you know, a couple keystrokes and, you know, you're out there doing what you need to do and you're not facing anybody. I come from the old school, you know, I actually went to a liberal arts college. And back then it was actually, it was a great kind of philosophy that was being taught, which is, hey, civil discourse, right? How do you actually talk to people that you don't agree with in a civil fashion and have a discourse where both sides are being heard? That doesn't exist at all anymore, to your point.
Yeah, it's I think it's kind of interesting because that is one of the themes that Tulsi Gabbard and Bobby Kennedy are talking about when they're doing their roadshow right now for the Trump campaign. Because we have to bring people together to have conversations instead of this guerrilla warfare that's going on.
Yeah, but you know, Christine, I mean, the problem is started, I think, with Obama, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. What the Democrats have become now is truly, truly a party of division. They achieve power by keeping us divided, right? When we're united mm-hmm. as a people, that's when they're weak. And so all they want to do is keep pushing those divisions and putting us into different buckets, but they truly do forget that we're more alike than we are different as a people, right? And we actually understand each other probably more than what they prefer us to understand, right? And so that's why they drive those divisions. That's why they make it about race, you know, black versus white versus brown. I mean, it's just crazy when you hear people talking about, you know, white privilege and stuff like that. I mean, and being guilty for being white. I mean, it's just awful. I mean, I've even gotten this from Democrats where they say, I have white privilege. I'm like, excuse me, do you know my background? I grew up poor. My mother was a housekeeper. My dad was a tailor. You're what white privilege are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. No, it is so twisted. It's so twisted from reality. But this is indoctrination of people. And then all of a sudden it turns into the behavior and then it turns into a sense of entitlement and then it turns into guerrilla warfare where right. you can't have a discussion to save a life. The fact that we have an open border, the fact that the government has come out, the Biden-Harris administration has come out and admitted that there are at nearly 300,000 unaccompanied children who were lost in the system coming into the United States right now, that is not a success story.
I mean, you know what we should do with that? And that is, you know, I heard that the other day, actually, and mm-hmm. we're so focused on our small business that I'm not as focused on the board, but somebody made that data point, made me aware of that data point. And I sat there and I go, why isn't the American public listening to that? Well, you know what I would like to do? I would like to put 300,000 white flags at Eagles Pass, right?
Oh,
and get
wow.
the Speaker of the House and Chip Roy and the governor of Texas out there. And we say, this represents one child, right? Each one of these flags. Until all of these flags are taken off of this land, right? Right? We should not stop until we get accounting for all of these children, which the Biden-Harris administration are guilty on them disappearing.
That's right. That's right. And they changed the policy, I think it was a year ago, May, where you're not able to have, once a child is placed on Main Street someplace,
yeah,
there's no follow-up wellness to find out how that child is doing, which it's a disgrace. There's no safety net.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I would love somebody to help me with that idea, but we need to show that to the American public. They need to see that with their eyes, and having 300,000 little white flags out there representing, you know, a child, a human child, human suffering, I think would be very powerful.
We might be able to do that. We might be able to do that. Let's talk about that, Alfredo, off camera. Okay, so let me ask you, who on the Hill is helping you with this campaign?
Well, so hopefully we'll have the speaker. I actually have a meeting a little bit later today with the speaker to talk about this. A couple senators, one of the senators, Tuberville, who's actually from Alabama, who has a bill on the floor.
And what does his bill? What does his
on the Senate. Excuse me.
Pardon me for interrupting. What does his? What does Tuberville's bill say?
He basically wants to repeal it. This is a repeal bill, right? And so we just need to repeal this overall. We don't need it actually even in the courts to deal with it. This just has to be repealed, period.
And has Trump said that he is going to, I don't know, executive order? Does he have to go legislatively? What has to happen?
You know, I think he can do an EO. I haven't had a chance to talk to President Trump about this. I can guarantee you that if this was presented to him in that way, he would do an EO in a heartbeat, because he knows that this economy is dependent on the success of small businesses. If we put this kind of shutdown on small business, because this will lead to basically a shutdown of small business. I guarantee you that. There is a reason why they want to create a database of 32 million small businesses on a federal level. I'm sorry, it's not to capture 10,000 money launderers.
So when you fill out these forms, is it just for the owner's information, or if the owner drops dead, the beneficiaries?
It's for the owner.
Just for the owner.
Yep, okay. The owners, and I think if you own more than 25% of a business as well, you'd have to file it. So if I invest in your business, let's say at 26%, I would have to file one of those under your business.
All right. That's anything else that they need to know, other than, and repeat it again, where do people find your information?
Yes, jobcreatorsnetwork.com, jobcreatorsnetwork.com. And like I said, we're looking for freedom fighters. JCN Freedom Fighters. So go to joinjcn.com if you're interested in helping us with the fight.
All right. And then, you know, Alfredo, we can have them on here, and we can do interviews and let people know the impact, because this goes across all industries. And I'm a 100%. Big proponent. All right. Well, Alfredo,
across all industries, quite frankly, all races and all, you know, whether you're Democrat, Independent, or Republican, it covers everybody.
It's the melting pot of America with the engine. It really is. Because this country was made, you know, was based upon small businesses for generations after generations. And now we've gotten into, and it may just be on the political side, and this is kind of a nefarious insight, it may be that they want to shut down small businesses because they're into the big ags, the big boxes.
That's what we've been saying. I think they would have no problem shutting them down and putting them all in government payroll so they can control everybody.
Well, Alfredo, this is another notion that people need to be much aware of when they're voting for the next couple of weeks. Yeah. Thank you very much for joining us and explaining it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.